morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all on this lovely March morning. And it's really nice to see Val with us this morning. Val's not been with us for a little while, so welcome back to Val. And anybody who's visiting us the first time or for many times, it's lovely to see you here this morning. Later on, Jenny's going to be leading us through God's word and leading communion. So we just want you to be blessed this morning. Whatever you bring, whatever's on your heart, we want you to really experience God's touch today. So today, obviously, is Mother's Day. And one of my favourite psalms is Psalm 139. So I'm going to read some of those verses that will be familiar to you. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wonderful words. I could go on. It's a long psalm. But I was thinking about this psalm this week and thinking about my mum, Mavis, who will hopefully join us later virtually, who's 84. And I was thinking, I've not known anybody as long as I've known my mum. Even... apart from my dad, even before I was born, my unformed body was connecting with my mum, and obviously she knew me even before she met me face to face. What a joy. But what's even better is that we have all got a Heavenly Father who created us from before time began, and he knows every hair on our heads and he knows everything about us. So let's just pray now and welcome him into our service. Father, we just come now, and Lord, we just thank you that you are here. Lord, you've promised where two or three are gathered, you will be here in the midst. And Lord, we just want to bring everything that has been prepared to you this morning. Lord, that the glory will go to you. And Lord, we ask you to soften our hearts, to open our ears, and our eyes to meet with you today. Amen. So let's join together and sing our first song, which is Come People of the Risen King.
Yeah.
be seated. So, I should have said, I'm not sure that we had any notices to share with you today, albeit that there's a church meeting the week tomorrow, and I think everybody's had their agenda. But also, Andrea said that ladies have prepared some lovely bunches in biodegradable wrapping of daffodils, so don't forget to collect those on your way out this morning. So let's hope that all our technical difficulties have been resolved, and we are going to go now. When my glamorous assistant is going to help me. With Let's Talk About Mothering Sunday. Okay. So, I've already told you that my mum, Mavis, which means songbird, is 84 years old. And I wanted really just to give you a little bit of a testimony of what's happened to us as a family over the last few months. But before we do that, I thought we would have a little bit of a quiz. So, first slide, please. Okay, so I'm sure many of you enjoy, like I do, Call the Midwife. And sad that it's finished for another season, but there you go. So, we've got some questions for you. Easy ones. According to the Flowers and Plants Association, Mother's Day is the biggest event in the UK's cut flower and indoor plant industry. At this time of year, the UK's sales of cut flowers and indoor plants increase by what average on a normal day's trading? So you've got the choice, 10%, 32% or 40%. 40. Yes, that's right. Well done. Okay. Next slide, please. Okay, number two. How much money is spent on Mother's Day cards in the UK? 65 million, 15 million or 45 million? Who says 65? Who says 15? Who says 45? Well done. 45 it is. Okay. Next one. How many Mothering Days cards are sent in the UK? 10 million, 45 million or 30 million? Who reckons 10? That's Ian at the back. 45. 30 million, that's right. Okay. So, next slide. On which Sunday before Lent is Mothering Sunday celebrated? The 10th, 6th or 4th Sunday? I think most people said 4th. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So, it began in the 16th century to honour the Virgin Mary. And it was the one day of the year when all servants could go and visit their families. Okay. So the next question, what food is most associated with Mothering Sunday? Sunday roast, eggs or simnel cake?
Simnel cake.
Actually, yes, I was very surprised that apparently it's simnel cake. There you go. Well, there you go. You're doing well. What is Mothering Sunday also known as? Letter Sunday, Refreshment Sunday, or Rose Sunday? Yeah, that's right. Okay, Rose Sunday. Easy one. Who was the mother of Queen Elizabeth I? Anne Boleyn, Mary Queen of Scots, or Mary II? Anne Boleyn, that's right. Off with your head. And the final one, which Indian city did Mother Teresa found her missionary? Was it Mumbai, Varanasi or Calcutta? Calcutta, yeah, that was an easy one. So, yeah, give yourselves a tap on the back. Okay, so next slide, please. So who do you reckon that is? Which one do you think is my mum? It's my grandma. So, my mum's at the top, that's right, on a wedding day. And on the 19th of March, they will be married 64 years. And who's that in the bottom? That's me, yeah. So a bit of a family likeness there. So next slide, please. So that's my mum. And some of you will know that before Christmas she was quite unwell. She had a very bad ear infection. And we had made plans for our Christmas. Dave and I weren't going to be spending it together, as it were. Dave was going to spend it with his mum and dad, and I was going to be going up to my brother's, where my mum and dad were going to be joining us in Sheffield. But on the 23rd of December, mum got admitted to hospital because they couldn't get rid of this really bad infection in her ear. So it did change our plans quite a bit for Christmas this year. However, we did have kind of a special time together for different reasons, and we really praise God that she came out after Christmas and she's now much better, as you can see. But let's have the next slide. So I'm not sure if anybody of you has heard of this lady, Cecil Frances Alexander. She was actually born in 1818, and she wrote many hymns for little children. So she was born in Ireland, and books included hymns for little children, and some of those we've sung. We've sung for many years, like All Creatures Great and Small. She also had a busy life doing lots of charitable work and building schools for children who were deaf, and she also developed a district nurse service in Ireland. And as I say, the other hymns included There Is a Green Hill Far Away and Once in Royal David City. So when mum was in hospital, next slide please. Yeah, so they are the lyrics of Once in David City. When mum was in hospital, obviously we couldn't go to Sunday service as a family. So I went with my dad to Maymo Baptist Church in Romford. And then we went to visit my mum later. And we were singing this carol, and I just reached down and held my dad's hand. And the words kind of came to me in a new way, really, because I think this carol really sums up, and what it's meant to do is sum up the Apostles' Creed, because it tells us of how God sent his own son to become human so that we could find our way to him. And also speaks of our parents and how we've experienced love from our parents, most of us, and how we should honour our parents as they get older. And it also speaks of Jesus' humility, but also the hope that we have that one day at last we will go to be with him. So that's the last slide, please. Thank you. And I'm not sure if anybody else has read those words like I have before. And I know it might feel a bit funny, but I thought we would sing this carol this morning and just see how the words touch you today. So, glamorous assistant Jo, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, when George asked me to lead the service this morning, I hadn't quite clicked. It was Mother's Day. So I'm here and Mum's 200 miles away. But is she? Because she's going to join us, hopefully, this morning. And she's going to read her favourite psalm, which is Psalm 46. So hopefully, again, my glamorous assistant, if it doesn't work, I will read it on her behalf. Let's give it a go, Jo.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thanks, Mum. So, this week I've been on annual leave, and I've been really blessed with some lovely weather. And although we've stopped going to London now as a church, Dave and I have kept up the tradition for the last 2 years, and we've gone on our own little retreat ourselves. And last week we weren't in church, but we were watching lots of lovely seals in Llandudno. 100, I think, we spotted with their little pups. And it's been a real time of refreshment and renewal away from my work this week. And really lovely to be out in the countryside with my trusted camera. and experiencing the joys of God's creation. So let's just pray now and give thanks to God. Lord God, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we just thank you that you are our creator. Lord, we thank you that you have known us before we were even born. And Lord, we just thank you for that beautiful Psalm 139 that just describes your works and your wonders. Father, we do thank you for placing us in a position of trust to look after your creation. And Lord, we just thank you for everything that we see around us that reminds us of your beauty. And Lord, we just pray now and thank you for our own earthly mums and mothers-in-law and those special women in our lives. We thank you for those who have children and grandchildren, and that you bless them with motherhood and responsibility and the joy that that brings. Lord, we pray for those people that have been unable perhaps to have children, but Lord, we just pray your blessing on them today. And Lord, we pray for those that are sad at this time, that don't have that physical touch with their own mothers at this time. But Lord, we just know that there's lots of memories that you can bring to mind and lots of blessings. But those, for those perhaps who haven't had those same blessings in their own lives, Lord, we pray that you will take away any pain, and Lord, that you will replace it with your unbounding love. And Lord, we just thank you for this special day when we can just take time out to remember those special women in our lives, and for how you've used and blessed them. Amen. Okay, so we're going to sing three songs now. So if you'd like to stand and sing. The next two songs. So Jesus should take the highest honor, and then oh let the God the Son of God enfold.
Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest Lord, we belongs to you. Belongs to you. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you. Belongs to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God. Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. The name which is above all other names. Let's bow the knee in humble adoration. For at his name every name must bow. That won't be done from verse. He is Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now. All honor and blessing and power belongs to you.
Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God.
Father, we just thank you for the wonderful words of those songs we've just sung. Lord, thank you that you want to come and enfold us in your loving arms. And Lord, in response, we bring these gifts to you. Lord, we ask you to bless them and to multiply them and take them to the ends of the earth, to bless those children that we sponsor and their families. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us. Amen. And Jenny's going to be coming to speak now. Let's just pray for Jenny as she comes. Father, we just thank you for your love to each one of us. Thank you for ministering to us today. And Lord, we just pray for Jenny now. Lord, she's such a blessing to us. Lord, we thank you for her wonderful testimony. Lord, for her lovely beaming smile and the joy as she speaks of you. And Lord, we ask your blessing on her now. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a very happy Mother's Day to one and all. A lovely day of celebration. And I'm going to bring to you two readings from Scripture that focus on the life of two very different mothers. But I will be speaking about what they had in common and what their purpose was of their offspring. So I hope you will enjoy very much what I've got to say. I've enjoyed putting it together. And the first reading is from 1 Samuel, much a bit of paper, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 8 to 20. Hannah had had no children. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, because "I had asked him of the Lord." Isn't that lovely? And then just to continue to chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. She gave him back to the Lord. And once he was weaned and on his feet and able to look after himself a little, he went to live with Eli in the house of the Lord. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. That is one mother. The second mother is the one that is remembered throughout the churches on this day, and that is the mother of Jesus himself, and that is Mary. In both of these cases, these women could not have done it without their husbands, who were the father of their children, although, of course, Joseph was like stepfather, because God himself was the father of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. And now this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Isn't that wonderful? So we're going to look at that together and I hope draw some conclusions. Oops, a little foot bump giveaway. Good. Let's pray. Lord, we come to look at your word together. We ask that the words that have been prayed in my heart and my mind will be a blessing to your people today, and that they will also bless and strengthen me as I walk through life together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. On Friday, urban saints were questioned, what is the difference between joy and happiness? This morning, I had the great happiness of seeing the face of my daughter in Litchfield and her husband, Gary, with their fluffy friend called Buster, the dog. And I was full of happiness to see them. And then also it went again. And my lovely son from Australia was there with his dear wife, Pam, and their dog, Sissel. And it was gave me such a happiness in my heart to see them. But even deeper than that was the joy that they were my children. Isn't that wonderful? Look at little me producing 2 kids, dear Lord. But I am so thrilled to be a mother, and I'm so grateful to God for my children. And I wanted to share with you some concerns and thoughts that perhaps would help us as mothers and fathers and those who have no longer got children, perhaps who have been bereaved, that they can still trust God for their future and know that they are safe in him. The 2 women I want to speak about, of course, is Hannah and Mary. Hannah had been married to Elkanah for several years, and she could not seem to come to bring a child. But he had a second wife, Peninnah, his second wife. She produced children for him, and she became a bit sort of over the top of Hannah. "Oh, you can't produce kids, you're no good." She would sort of put Hannah down. And Hannah's heart got sadder and sadder. And how much her husband loved her. "Am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? I love you. I give you all I have. You are mine. You're precious to me." He loved her and wanted to know that. But oh, how she longed to bear him a son. She went to the temple or to the house of God once a year for Passover. And as they went, she stood at the entrance, and her heart was absolutely low before God, and tears fled down her face. And as she cried out to him in her heart, her lips were just, "Lord, please, please help me to have a son. Please, Lord." And because she wasn't speaking out, I love the thought that they thought Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk that time in the morning. And she pleaded with him and said, "No." She said, "I am not drunk. My heart is broken. I so much want a son for my husband." And he said, "If I could have a son, I would return him to the Lord. And every day of his life, he would serve the Lord." She was a woman of faith. A woman who trusted God, but longed to see his action in her life. And Eli said, "May the Lord be gracious to you." And she went home, and in due time, she produced Samuel. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in our scriptures. He was the one who affirmed the kingship of Saul and also anointed David, the precious king of the Israelites. What a wonderful son she had produced. Why had he become so effective? He became so effective because the mother loved God. The mother kept her word to God, and the mother dedicated her son to God. Do we dedicate our children to God? There are many ways in various churches of that dedication. In the Baptist church, we dedicate a child, and then we wait for that child to come to full realization of who Jesus is, and they are baptized. That is their commitment to Christ, and they become a member of a church. They belong to a family. Isn't that lovely? That is our responsibility as parents, to encourage our children in the things of the Lord. He is the one we entrust them to. Then we move on in time, space and time, and we move on to Mary. A very different situation. Mary didn't particularly want children at that time. She was engaged to be married. And if you go back into history and you look at the Israelites and the Jewish people, if you had a child out of marriage, it was a deep, deep dishonor to family, to themselves, and above all to God. The shame that that meant would bring was absolutely total. God chose Mary, a young woman in her teens, a woman who must have lived her life Godward. He knew her heart. She was the one he chose to bear his son. Mary had the courage to agree to the Lord giving to her his son. And of course, she was pregnant before she was actually married to her husband-to-be, Joseph. I love Joseph. We don't speak enough of him in our churches. Here, he was a man who loved God and kept the law. And when he found out that his espoused wife, Mary, was indeed pregnant, and they had not slept together, his heart was broken. The shame that would bring on him, his family, her family, in the community would have been unbearable. But how merciful God is. God spoke to him through an angel in a dream, and he was brave enough and courageous enough to take the young woman he loved to be his wife. And Jesus was born in wedlock. He was born in honor. And of course, we know his future life and time. Jesus was the one who became King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our lives. And I do delight in the fact that Mary had the courage to let him go. Both of these women had the courage to let their children go. Hannah gave him back to God for his future. What was his purpose? And his purpose was made clear. Jesus was given back when allowed to go on his mission and onto his mission of death on the cross that we might be forgiven. Mary had all these things in her heart, but she had the courage to let her son, her beloved son, go. Let us remember too that God was gracious to Mary, for she had other sons and daughters, three sons and daughters. So she had a family that was surround her, uphold her, and love her. I thank God so much that my mother was courageous enough to let me go. She let me go at a very young age of 15. But let me tell you, I learned a lot by myself, knowing that back in England, my mother was there loving me. I could contact her. She would support me, as would my father. And that family bond is just wonderful. But I do want to think just for a few moments, there are those even amongst us that have lost loved ones, that have lost sons and daughters before their time. And their hearts are heavy on this day as they remember their loss. And it is joyful this day as they remember that they had these sons or these daughters. And somehow the time will come when they can let them go and trust them to the God who gave them life and to whom they have returned. And so motherhood is a real blessing and a joy in the main. There are moments you wonder why. But when you see how your sons and daughters have progressed in life, and you are there in the background to support, uphold, and encourage them in their development, and see what God has done through your faithfulness to him and your faithfulness to your children. So I do ask you to continue to support your children day by day. Remember them in your prayers if they've left home. Remember them in your prayers. It says in Scripture, pray without ceasing, and I never stop day by day to pray for my children, that they will return to the love of God and that I will be sure of their salvation. And so today, as we have considered these two very different women, all our circumstances are different when we have children. But let's remember this. They are born out of love, and they are loved above all by God himself. God is our Father, but he has a mother's understanding heart. He created mothers. He knows how women feel. He knows how men feel, because he gave life to all of us. And there's a lovely verse I'd like to read to you from Isaiah 49. And let me see. Okay. Here we are. He said this. He was praying for the people of Jerusalem who were under siege, and they were anxious. And he says this. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. A beautiful, beautiful verse, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Verses where God's love, he sent his son to die for us, that we might be forever with him in the heavens above. And we are going to move gently into our communion service. And here we will remember the cost of our communion. And as we come to this, we're going to sing a most beautiful song to lead us into communion. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Thank you.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, all I did is many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again.
So we come now to perhaps the highest point of any time of worship, as we gather around the Lord's table with representation of the blood he shed on the cross and the wounds he bore for us. He has graven us in the palms of his hand. We are never, ever absent from his love, his heart, and his concern for us. And in Jesus, as we sang that lovely song, again I look at the cross upon which you died, Lord, and there I'm just lost in wonder. And so it is in wonder that we come to share together in bread and in wine. Jesus gathered together those he loved. Us. Isn't that lovely? Jesus gathered together those he loved. And when he was with them, he took, first of all, a loaf, a little loaf. And he said, as he broke it, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, all of you." For we are from one loaf, even though broken into individual pieces, we are the body of Christ in totality. I so much want to bring to you this morning the dignity, the richness, and the joy of Christ, even through his sacrifice. For as we are forgiven, so our hearts are filled with his love, which never fails. And so may I ask the couple who are going to help me, please. Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, all of you." And so I ask you to take the bread and to eat it for your own self, considering the suffering that Jesus went through to make this possible. Body of Jesus broken for you. Body of Jesus broken for you. And then, in a similar manner, after supper. I love this fact. When Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast on that last time, all the official part of the Passover feast had been completed. And then there was the cup of blessing. And this is the cup that Jesus took, where he took it and said, "This is the cup of my new covenant, my blood shed for you. Take, drink, all of you, in remembrance of me." And so I invite you, as you receive the wine, to maintain it until we have all been served, and we will drink together as one. Let us drink this wine together and rejoice that God loved us so much that he sent his Son to redeem us. Amen. Thank you. And so, Lord, we just have come now before you with grateful hearts on this Mothering Sunday. We ask, Lord, that you will bless each one of us in our various stages of life and need. And we thank you that no one is beyond your love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you very much. As parents are loyal to their children and love them whatever and however, we have a God who loves us even more. And we're going to end our time together this morning by singing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." now as you go home to continue to celebrate this wonderful day. I just want to say thank you particularly to the group who've led us this morning and to the organisation of Sandra for this service. It's been a beautiful time with you all, and I'm grateful. And so, Lord, we know that you go with us to our homes. We thank you for being with us as your body this morning. May we go out in the strength of the Holy Spirit, and may we be assured of our salvation, moment by moment, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.